a QRR4 practice piece, second piece of the second passage, the Sunak and German bit ready. When confronted by Friedrich Merz, the German opposition leader, Mr. Scholz stated that Vladimir Putin must not achieve his goals and that Europe was opposed to Russian imperialism. An exasperated Mr. Merz, who, unlike the Chancellor, has visited Kyiv since the outbreak of the war, responded, "Why don't you say it? Is there a second agenda?" Mr. Scholz doubled down on his refusal to state whether he wanted Ukraine to win the war. In a tweet following his address, he wrote, "It would be arrogant and inappropriate to talk in this country about war aims. Only the Ukrainians and their president decide on the conditions for peace. Our goal is that Putin doesn't win and Ukraine can defend itself," he added. The terse exchange reflects major concerns among EU leaders over Germany's languid response to the war, in contrast with Britain, Central European and Baltic states, who have provided Ukraine with huge amounts of weaponry and diplomatic support. On Wednesday, the Wall Street Journal cited a senior Czech official who said France and Germany's decision to hold phone calls with Putin was destroying EU unity on Ukraine. Every phone call, ministers from the north of Europe and central Europe are getting more and more angry, they said. It's precisely what Putin wants and what the French and Germans are giving him. According to German media reports, Germany has not sent any significant weapons to Ukraine in weeks and has so far failed to deliver Leopard tanks to Warsaw to replace tanks delivered from Poland to Ukraine. Mr. Scholz says that Germany has already provided Ukraine with around 5,000 anti-tank mines, tens of thousands of hand grenades and millions of rounds of ammunition. Only last month, a spokesman for the Prime Minister said it was not practical to supply aircraft such as the Typhoon and F-35, as training would take about 35 months. But speaking ahead of Mr. Zelensky's whistle-stop visit, Mr. Sunak opened the door to the West, finally providing air support by announcing an expansion in training from soldiers to Marines and fighter jet pilots, ensuring Ukraine has a military able to defend its interests well into the future. By agreeing to train Ukrainian pilots to fly something superior to the Soviet-era aircraft that are currently incapable of dropping the bombs needed to defeat the Russians, the UK has given allied neighbours less wriggle room to turn down Mr. Zelensky's repeated request for more firepower. In presenting Sir Lindsay Hoare, the Speaker of the House of Commons, with the helmet of one of Ukraine's most successful pilots, the father of two, 45, dressed in his trademark military fatigues, appeared to have been authorised to make a direct appeal to MPs, saying, "We have freedom, give us wings to protect it." Politically, Mr. Sunak is caught in somewhat of a pincer movement, with Mr. Zelensky leading the charge on the supply of English planes and Mr. Johnson bringing up the rear by calling for the UK to give the Ukrainians the extra equipment they need to defeat Putin and restore peace to Ukraine. Having been name-checked by Mr. Zelensky during his speech, Mr. Johnson appeared intent on bouncing the Prime Minister into not only providing air support but also longer-range missiles and artillery, and even more tanks. Arguing that we should be supplying Typhoon jets to Ukraine, he added, "It is true that the Typhoon is a four-nation plane and that we require the approval of allies for export, but there is no reason to think that Germany or others should oppose our decision. These are UK planes." Yet Mr. Sunak is now perfectly placed to use the war in Eastern Europe to his own strategic advantage. Mr. Zelensky's decision to visit Ukraine ahead of any EU country is already a major coup of post-Brexit global Britain. If he also manages to convince the West to finish the job, as one of his predecessors put it, then he will be the 21st century Prime Minister, drawing parallels with Sir Winston Churchill. When news of Volodymyr Zelensky's secret trip to Britain broke, you could almost hear the lips pursing in irritation in Europe, if you closed your eyes and listened hard enough. In Brussels, officials have been boasting that the Ukrainian president would, of course, choose the EU for his second overseas visit after the US. It is, after all, an economic superpower that was ready one day to welcome Ukraine into the fold of its 477 million-strong trading bloc. Instead, Mr. Zelensky picked the UK and Rishi Sunak. By doing so, he placed a big feather in the cap of global Britain. He also triggered a huge collective frown as European diplomats and officials got the news on their gleaming smartphones on Wednesday morning. Ukraine's president is expected to address the gathered leaders of the remaining 27 EU member states at a summit in the Belgian capital on Thursday, after a visit to Paris on Wednesday evening. Those top secret plans were leaked by loose-lipped MEPs in the European Parliament earlier this week. The EU's institutions were still indulging in the blame game when they found out that Mr. Zelensky was in London. In Paris, Emmanuel Macron's officials put a brave face on it when journalists asked if it was a diplomatic coup for Brexit Britain. It's a very good thing that he's going to the UK, a discomforted Elise said, before adding that the French president had spoken to Mr. Zelensky just last week. We have also just welcomed Ukraine's defence minister, Oleksiy Reznikov, to talk about our support in terms of equipment for Ukraine. So all that is positive.